Tonight, as you know, will be somewhat of a special lesson. I had taken a trip down to Honduras. I started August the 31st and ended September 7th. And so from Monday to Monday, I was out in another country seeking to help, encourage, edify, and teach the brethren there. And let me tell you that they did all of those things to me. And with all that had happened, as you can imagine, I would have a million things to talk about. And I do. I have a million things to talk about. But of course, we don't have that much time. But there's one thing that really stood out to me. One thing that really caught my eye within the brethren. You know, it sort of stood out like a hair in a biscuit. Yeah. Ask me about that later. But you know, it stood out like that. It really caught my eye. It was something that really tugged on my heartstrings. And it was the realization that not one of us would have been there if it wasn't for Christ. Not a single one of us would have been there if it was not for Christ. And so here you have all of us there. You know, we traveled down there with a preacher from New Jersey named Jerry Falk. Let's see if this works here. There's Jerry right there. We also traveled down there with a deacon from Texas named Jason. Where's Jason? There's Jason. Of course, you know the preacher right there, Jeff Archer, and his son, Todd Archer, painter. And of course, you have little old me here. And so we all travel down there to this place to do our work, to do the work of the Lord. That's what we were seeking to do. And I want to talk to you tonight about just how the unity in Christ made it so much easier to do all the things that we needed to do for them and what they did for us, the unity that we had in Christ. And I'd first like to say, well, these people there were unified in their presence. Go ahead and turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. See, Christ here is praying before he's going to be captured and crucified. He's praying to God, to the Father, that the brethren there have unity within themselves, within him. And so starting in verse 20, he says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You see, unity requires these different parts coming together. That's what unity is, right? It's all these different pieces coming together and forming one part. And of course, as we read through the word, what's that part? What's that huge thing that, you know, all these things are made up into? It's the body. And so we're all made up of this body. And the brethren there, first, I would say, had unified in their presence. Once leaving the airport, and renting our van, we headed to the first church. This was in La Ceiba. Mind you, I am probably going to mess up a lot of these names, so just go along with me. And that's Juan Antonio there. He was a preacher there. Now, let me tell you, we were late. We were over an hour late getting there. But the brethren didn't care. Not only that, they didn't leave. See, to them, being there, being unified in presence as the body is supposed to be, was a lot more important to them than, you know, getting out of there and making sure that, you know, dinner was ready and all these other things were taken care of. They were going to make sure that they were there and that we all worshiped the Lord together. Now, the power went out. It got hot. You got sweaty. But people were still there. They were unified in their presence. And they stayed there because they considered their presence there to be more of an encouragement than anything else. That's why. You know what? And that's exactly what the Hebrew writer is talking about here. Let's go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We often like to quote these verses here in regards to trying to bring someone back or make sure someone stays there. But look what this one verse is surrounded by. Verse 25. We'll start in verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." You see, it was helpful and it was encouraging for all the brethren to be there, no matter what. So yeah, the power went out and the fans weren't working, but those people were going to be there because we wanted to be unified in our presence. But not only that, we see this exemplified in the church in Jerusalem. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We'll start in verse 42. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." I was very fortunate to witness this kind of attitude, this kind of, just actions there in Honduras. This is how the people were. They were living in some pretty bad situations. You know, they don't have, of course, all the things that we have, but they were very content. And they understood, you know what, more than anything, you have to be there with your brethren. Work may come up and all these other things may come up, but you have to be there with your brethren. And I was very fortunate to experience that. But here, as we've just read in Acts, the people are making an impact because they met together daily. They were together daily. And so we also must be unified in our presence. But notice what else is said of these believers. You see, these believers had a mind to worship and glorify God. You see, the head, as we know, is the most important part of the body. That's where all the thinking and the guiding goes, right? So wherever the head goes is where we're going. And we know that from Colossians 1:18 and from Ephesians 5, verse 23. We'll go ahead and read that one. Ephesians 5, verse 23. "That Christ is the head. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior." Christ is the head of the church. And that means that the rest of the body is in subjection to it. And while on earth and now in heaven, Christ had a mind to glorify God. Tuesday, after having a study at the homes of sisters Heidi there and Iselina, we are worshiped in the church in Kimistan. That's where Daniel preaches. That's Daniel there with his family. That's also where I preached for the first time. Yay. But Wednesday, okay, we went to La Estancia, where Ronaldo preaches. This is Ronaldo right there. And after that, we went to this hotel there in Gracias, this place called Gracias. Thank you. And we sat around a table on the top floor discussing the problems within their local churches. And one of the big issues that we were talking about is how someone had probably gotten involved in some sort of adultery. I don't need to tell you about all the facts and the details. But it had gotten so bad in a situation that, well, the church was kind of split up. A huge part of the family was going to want to that church. And so they're wanting to stick with that family member, saying, yeah, he's messed up, but we want to stick with him. But everybody else is saying, look, we need to get rid of this guy. And so there was a separation that could have happened there. But you see, we sat there wanting to be unified in mind. We had a mind to glorify God. And it was only because of our mutual oneness for the sake of our fellow Christians that they could even ask for our help, for our advice. We were unified in mind. And so within this situation, this is something I learned. You know, you need to be unified even in separation. See, the problem there is once the family there had to recognize the sin of that individual. But it wasn't only that. They had to stick together to make sure that the right thing was going to be done. And you know what? The only way that that is going to be done, the only way that any church is going to fix its problems is if it is unified in mind. You have to have a mind to glorify God. Things must be done the right way. And so this was another thing that really stood out to me. These brethren here wanted to be unified in mind. And so they said, you know, before we even begin and start talking about this situation, let us have a prayer. But not only that, look, this is what we're going to do. We're not even going to look at ourselves and wonder how, you know, my own thoughts in regards to this story. We're going to look at the word and we're going to go from there. Being unified in mind. That's something that really stood out to me. And in fact, this is exactly what Paul was wanting the Corinthians to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. But not only that, we can also consider the example of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Christ had a mind to glorify God. And when we sat around that table in Gracias, we had to have a mind to glorify God as well, if anything was going to be done. And so that's also something we must remember. It brings humility and it brings glorification to our Lord. The next day, we traveled to La Esperanza, to the home of Teofilo. This is him right there. And we went to the church in Marcala, where Adialid Guzman preaches. That's him there. And we slept at this hotel in Jerusalem. In regards to the body, we know that the body has to eat to survive, right? And so we're being unified in our presence. It's indeed, we need to make sure that all the parts are there. We need to be unified in our mind, making sure that we're having the same goal. We're going towards the same place. But not only that, we need to be eating the same types of things, right? We need to be unified in our consumption. And let me tell you, we ate at this most peculiar place in Marcala there. It was this Chinese pizzeria in Honduras. Would you ever expect to find such a place in Honduras? Let me tell you that again. This is a Chinese place in Honduras. Chinese pizza place in Honduras. Now, don't get me wrong. The food was very good. It was delicious. But I remember walking in there and I was thinking, guys, do you know how many different people and different cultures are represented right now in one room? This is amazing. But not only that, it was because of what? It was because of Christ that we were all there. Of course, the workers were going to be there anyway, but the rest of us, we were there because we wanted to glorify God in our work. And so we stopped at this place, this most peculiar place to eat at. And we were unified in our consumption. And what do I mean by that? This is being unified in our consumption. It's making sure that this is our bread and butter, if you will. This is exactly what, in fact, in 2 Timothy, Paul is talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll start in verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped with every good work. We need to be unified in our consumption. We need to make sure that we're all eating the same things. You see, it's the word of God, the only substance that fills and nourishes all together as one. That's it. And that was the focus there. And so what made this picture possible back in Gracias, what made that picture possible was making sure that we were all around the table eating the same thing. Now, as it is here, as it was there, everyone doesn't eat the same thing. They had to deal with institutionalism. They had to deal with Catholicism. This was a surprise to me. I didn't know that all these churches had to deal with the same exact things, but yes. Because not everybody's eating the same thing. Not everybody's consuming the Word of God. They want to add all these other different things in there, you see. But if the health of the body depends on what it eats, why in the world are you going to add or take away from a perfect meal? And that's something that everyone has to think about. There's no reason, no need to take away from God's perfect meal if it has everything that we need. And so this is our milk, you see. This is our meat. This is our refried beans, all right? And you know why it's our refried beans? Because we eat it all the time. Comes with every meal in Honduras. But this has to be the only thing influencing my thoughts. This has to be the only thing influencing your thoughts as well, towards God and towards His will. We cannot intake anything else. And I say that just to remind you that the battle continues. And it doesn't matter where you are. This same battle is going on. People are wanting to intake different things. But we need to be unified in our consumption. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your lamp is a word, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And in Psalm 19, starting in verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb." We need to be unified in consumption and making sure that the Word, and only the Word, is the only thing that we're intaking that lets us be with God. And so that was another thing, another great thing that these brethren there showed to me. Being unified in consumption, having the same problems as us, but choosing to stick with God's word no matter what. And may that help to encourage you, as it did me. But not only that, they were unified in goal, in their goal. We had visited the home of Nelson. Then after that, we worshiped with the church in Suatepeque. There we go. I said that right. Where Florentino preaches. I don't have a picture of him. And then we slept in Julio's house in San Pedro Sula for the last three nights. And Saturday was an interesting day. We visited three churches. First, we worshiped in Oma where Wilson preaches. That's Wilson there. This kid is 19 years old. He's a preacher there at this church in Oma. That was very good to meet him. And then we went to El Pedregal, where Oscar preaches. Oh, yeah, in Oma, that's where I preached the second time. Yay. Then we went to El Pedregal, where Oscar preaches. This is Oscar back here. And then we played football with the brethren. After, of course, I went and I saw my son, Adolfo here. This is Rivia Hernandez, that church. And the reason why I called him my son is because after I bought him Burger King one time, he called me his father. What's up with that? I said, "Why are you calling me your father?" He says, "Because you buy me food all the time." All right, so be it. So after seeing my son, we also went out and we played some soccer. We played some football, as they would call it. Now let me tell you how we split up. Okay, so when you're going to be playing soccer there, you're all standing in a line, all next to each other, and then somebody is walking through this line just like this, and after person goes by, you're either going this way, you're going that way, going this way, you're going that way. So you don't know who's going to be on your team. You can't really choose anybody to be on your team. You just end up on a team. I thought that was the fairest way to try to get somebody. And you know, we couldn't understand each other at all at first. We couldn't understand each other at all. Of course, so I'm an English guy, all right? I'm there trying to kick the ball, trying to see what's going on, and they're yelling something, and I'm like, what? What are you talking about? There's no way I could understand them, you see. But I say that's how it is sometimes, right? As Gary Sandusky had talked about, you can't choose your teammates. But you still need to find a way to work together. You need to find a way to be unified in the goal. And the longer we played together, let me tell you, the more we understood each other. And the language barrier wasn't a problem anymore. And so we became unified in the goal. I tell you that soccer, when you're playing, it's a two-team sport, as you know. And so it's not just us out there trying to make goals. You have the opposing team as well. And guess what? That same thing works with spirituality, doesn't it? It's not just us out here trying to save people. It's the devil, his angels, and all these other spiritual forces trying to make sure that we don't and that they make their own goals. And, another interesting thing about that is while you're driving through and you're seeing all of these different soccer fields, you see the advertising of Pepsi Cola and Coca Cola everywhere. And so at one particular field, you had one team wearing all Pepsi and the other team wearing all Coca Cola, finally battling out, seeing who was going to win. See what I'm saying? That's how it is sometimes, right? You have these two very powerful opposing, teams, but you have to be on the right one. You have to be choosing to stick with God. And the goalie is the most dangerous position to play. Todd Archer there, as you see, he played the goalie for the other team. And I'm telling you, he got hit so many times. One time he got hit, right there in the legs, and he's down. And so he's down on the ground rolling around, and the ball is still loose. Nobody has gotten it yet. And they're all like, hey, you know what? I'm sorry you're hurt, but I still want to try to make my goal. So they still try to kick it, But this is what he does. He grabs it out. He rolls over it. And he holds on to it. He wasn't going to let that ball go. He wasn't going to let that other team make that score. And I tell you, that's exactly how we need to be acting sometimes in regards to our brethren. And in fact, we read of our responsibility of this in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. This is our responsibility. We need to be like that goalie. We need to be like Todd, if you will, reaching out and making sure that the opposing team still can't make that goal. But sometimes we let our anger get the best of us. Sometimes we just don't feel like helping our brother and our sister out. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Just a couple pages over. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 25. Therefore, having put away all falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. You see, when Todd was hit, he was making sure that the opposing team did not have an opportunity to score. And we need to be doing the same for our brethren. And you see, that's the exact kind of love that I experienced down there. Because you could really tell that they cared for each other. And they weren't willing to let anyone go. And if they're playing soccer as well as they're trying to make sure no one's leaving, let me tell you, they're going to be successful in that. And so we need to be doing the same thing. We need to remember that. This is our goal here. Being unified in the goal is making sure that not only us, but our brethren are saved too. It's not only us making that goal, but it's bringing someone along with us, right? And so the brethren there were unified. Do not let the other team score due to bad teammates. And on Sunday, we went to the Central Church in San Pedro Sula, where Julio preaches. Then we went to, this is Julio there, I should show you. That's Julio and his family there, surrounded by him. And we went back to Rivera Hernandez, where Adolfo preaches. Those are his grandchildren there, or my grandchildren, really. And then we went to Kimmy Stan, where Daniel preaches again. Now, of course, here you have this place filled with weirdos and things like that. That's me, of course. But let me tell you, that was the main thing that really stood out to me was their unity and all of these things. They wanted to be unified in presence, and they made sure of that. They wanted to be unified in mind, and they made sure of that. They wanted to be unified in consumption, making sure that the word is the only thing that they're going by, and they made sure of that. They want to be unified in the goal, that's saving others. They made sure of that. And you know, the awesome thing about that is when I came back here, I didn't see anything different. I saw the same exact thing here. And that's the awesome thing about being in the body of Christ. That's the awesome thing about this unity, is because the whole body is indeed working together to bring about the same kinds of goals. And so while I'm here, I see people unified in presence. I see people unified in their mind. I see people unified in their consumption. It's only the word that we go by. And each of us are indeed unified in our goal to make sure that not only we're going to make it, but somebody else is going to make it. And if the opposing team is trying to get them out, well, we're going to reach out, we're going to roll over them, and we're going to make sure they're not going to make that. That's what being unified in Christ means. It's when the whole body is working together to bring about the goal. And so this is the last picture here, up there at the airport. And as we said goodbye, I tell you, the name of the church building did not matter at all. It was the name that each of us were wearing every day that counted. That was the name of Christ. And the main thing that I learned, I tell you, it wasn't that it didn't matter where you were from. It didn't matter what you looked like. It didn't matter what language you spoke, because all are one in Christ Jesus. And so each of those churches that I had to run through so quickly, they send you their greetings, and they are praying for your continued success, as we shall do for them. That's unity in Christ. That's the body of Christ working together. And it's always a unique thing. It's a universal thing. It's what makes us all stand out and persevere, you know, like that hair in a biscuit. It's that unity. And that's the unity that we all have in Christ. I thank you, brethren, so much for your time this evening.